Welcome to Amigo Radio, live from the Bow Store on Main Street. I've completely forgotten what number it is.
Oh, 4, 5, 4.
5, 4.
5.4.
5.4.
And we're back on Earth again, right?
Yes, we're back on Earth. I'm Brian Cook. This is Seth Fisher.
How you doing?
We have a very special guest. We're honored to be here today with Kazzie Russell. You should say something now.
Thank you, guys.
There we go. Kazzie, of course, is the seminal Michigan basketball star. He's in town for a reunion. Iowa game. He seemed a little bit concerned about the outcome this weekend. But we just wanted to talk to you about, you know, your experience coming to Michigan in the 60s, just being recruited by Michigan and how that actually came about, where you came to Ann Arbor.
Well, actually, let the truth be told, I was headed to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
And I had lunch with my idol, Oscar Robertson. And I had considered Cincinnati, Iowa, UCLA, just to mention a few. And I'd kind of gotten down to maybe the last three or four, and I just... This was so tough because it was uncharted waters, and everybody was saying, we want you to come to our institution, which was really an honor. So I said, let me pray about it. And I prayed about it, and it seemed like the small still voice says, call Michigan. I says, call Michigan. Well, he said, I hadn't heard from Michigan in 2 or 3 weeks, and but I was obedient, and I called, and I spoke to Coach Scala, had his hand over the phone, and he said, hey, go tell Dave that Kazzie Russell is on the line. I could hear him. He didn't cover the truth. So I talked to Dave. And
Dave Stratt.
Dave Stratt. Yeah. Late Dave Stratt. And loved that guy. He was really down to earth, made me feel comfortable. He says, this is Dave Stratt. I said, Coach, this is Kazzie Russell. I haven't heard from you guys. And, guys, there was a silence over the phone for about 20 seconds. I thought we had got disconnected.
20 seconds.
Yeah, just pause. I mean, that's a long time. But I heard him kind of clearing his throat, so I knew he was still there. Mm-hmm. And I can remember it's like it was just yesterday. He said, well, we were told that you were not interested. And I just dropped. Because they had come to my house.
Right.
Talked to my mom and dad.
Yeah.
Ate homemade ice cream.
Really?
Enjoyed themselves.
Wow.
And I wonder why I hadn't heard from them. So I said, well, I am interested. I would love to come up and take a look. You would? I said, yeah. So they flew me up, and my parents came up, took a look at the campus, never showed me Yost Field House. Probably the greatest move ever made. And the first time I got to see it was when I came back in the fall.
Yeah, because Yost Field House at that point was, you know, dirt floor.
You would not have impressed me with that. Is this where I'm going to play?
Birds in the balcony.
That's right. That's right. So, but I kept in mind the small, still voice that had told me to call Michigan, and I called. And we looked over the university, and they took me to the big house, and I had lunch, and I was able to overlook kind of Ann Arbor and the whole athletic department, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could walk across the railroad tracks there. You know, now it's like a little city in there. They got everything in there now. So I enjoyed the visit, and then Coach Scala told me, he says, listen, we've done some pretty good recruiting. Think about us. You know, I said, I'm from Chicago, and I've watched you play, and I think you can help us. Well, this sounded really impressive for me. And, you know, at some point, even though I was Chicago Player of the Year, at some point, you've got to convince yourself that you can play at the next level, you know. So, Bill Bunn was my host, and I talked to Billy, and he was kicking my tail in pool. I think he was up 3-1, and then he stopped. He quit. I said, wait a minute, you can't quit. He said, yes, I can. I said, we'll finish it when you come back.
Oh.
And so those were a few of the things that I remember. But my first initial look at Yost Fieldhouse was like, oh, my goodness. This is all dirt. Where's the floor, you know?
Right, because back then they used to move the floor in and out.
Portable floor, yeah. Absolutely. Great floor. Maybe it looked like I could jump, you know. It was a great floor. I had a good touch. But, guys, that's how I ended up at the Big Blue, 1962.
So it wasn't the Bill Button and then, like – It didn't look like did it look like Michigan was going to be competitive at this point? Because you look at Michigan before Bunton, and they were nothing.
If my memory serves me correctly, I think Billy's sophomore year they were 8-6 in the Big Ten. Where all the other years that I got a chance to watch the Big Ten game of the week on WGN TV in Chicago, Michigan was not very good in basketball. And that's why I was wondering, but I really enjoyed. I love Dave Strike and his wife and the family, kind of the family flavor, the down to earth, you know, the campus. Kind of just walked around, didn't look too busy. I was impressed with the number of people here, though. I decided I'm going to go to Michigan, and I had to call Cincinnati and tell Oscar Robinson, you know, because I took a visit to Cincinnati and talked with him. He came to my high school and had lunch. He was my idol. And I'm saying, wow, one of the greatest players in ever played the game is trying to get me to go to Cincinnati. And so I said, what do I tell him? Tell him you're going to Michigan. And away I went. So I ended up at the Big Blue, and I'm grateful that I did, because apparently it was meant for me to come this way.
So we actually had a fascinating conversation before we went on the air. We mentioned that California has passed a bill that gives athletes back their name and image rights that they've signed away to the NCAA. What's your perspective there, and how does that feel to you?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I know. I feel that we should get something. You know, I mean,
as an athlete.
Yeah, as an athlete. Yeah, because when I came, obviously I didn't have very much, and. But, you know, to use the name and the image, this is providing you have a name and an image, you know.
So, yeah.
And I thought about it when I first heard it, and I wondered if I should do more reading on it and look at the entire story of it. But, you know, and then I heard the Fab Five talk about the fact that, you know, that people were buying up everything, and they didn't have anything. You know, this is a story. So I think we should get something, you know, because, again, I got a call my sophomore year to throw games.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I had to turn that over to the coach. I mean, they offered me close to $2,000 to $3,000. And at the time, they knew what I was averaging. I was averaging 24-7 as a sophomore. They said, all you got to do is just score 20. And we'll give you $2,000 if we win the spread, if we win the game. And I was visibly shaken by it because I knew the voice was contorted, you know, on the other end. So I went down and told my coach, and I didn't practice very well that day because they had to, you know, they called the FBI and they had to tap my phone.
Really?
So it was visible in 1963-64, which was my sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I had heard about basketball scandals, but you know, you never take those seriously until it's knocking at your door.
Right. And $2,000 back then is an awful lot of money.
Man, I would have been rich, you know, $2,000, $3,000, but I would have cut off my nose to spite my face, and of course I would have gone against my biblical teachings anyway, to be truthful. So, I mean, but it helped. And I'm glad that I didn't, because I certainly would have cut myself short and not have been truthful, you know. But I was – so to answer your question, I think having been given something, it would have eliminated probably that call, period, eh?
Right. So if you got an over-the-table deal, you know, you're not going to think about necessarily doing
that. Throwing games.
Right, because, like, even though you didn't do it, like, probably thought about, like, for a second, you know, just – that's a lot of money.
That's probably why I was speechless and felt like I was suntanning, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't, and I just have to say God looked after me, and I tried to do the right thing, and that was a reported, you know.
Yeah.
That's still scary in itself, because I mean they could be mad, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Like. Yeah, those guys are not on the up and up.
No. So, I'm going to read. I'm going to try to follow that. I don't know. I think did I read where it says 2023?
Yeah, it's 2023. Okay. So they've got some time to, like, figure it out.
Hash it out. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, wide basis.
It's such a big business making thing nowadays, and using your name and using your image. Should we be compensated for our name and our image? Mm-hmm. I think so. The cost of living goes up. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back then. I mean, there might have been an understanding that, like, you know, if you go to the NBA, you're going to be making more than your coach. So there was, you know, your coach is still driving an old car and you're coming back. That made more sense back then.
Well, didn't you mention one of the assistants on that team that you were on was making $8,000 a year?
Well, I just saw Jim Scala a few minutes ago. We are having a reunion for the 64, 65, and 66 teams. It's good to see all those guys. And we were just talking. He said he came from Eastern Michigan to join Dave Strack as an assistant. And said they gave him $8,000. And he said he looked the other day and he said somebody as an assistant was making $450,000.
Yeah, and we were probably complaining that he wasn't making enough.
Right.
that was Luke Jokulich. I was like, pay that man his money.
Are you kidding me? You know, it's like the guy complaining about not having any shoes and he goes around the corner and the guy doesn't have any feet.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, the times have changed, the cost of living. And I spoke to Dave Bing a couple of months ago and I saw him when I was delivering a message at church, and I said, Dave, how you doing? I said, what do you think? He said, don't even start, you know, because we always talk about what we could have got that's number one and number two coming out now. He said, yeah, don't even talk about it.
Yeah, it's a little bit different these days.
Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned that you just talked to Juwan.
I did.
And how did that go?
It went well. I've known him. I told him when I heard he was getting the job, I told him I was praying for him. I'm an associate pastor, so I put him on our list, and I'm pulling for Michigan because I live in Savannah, but I have to stand up for the Big Ten, surrounded by the ACC and the SEC.
That's a tough job.
And I don't want to hear about the ACC. The Big Ten is better, so obviously they gave me a lot of trouble when we didn't play well against Wisconsin in football. So
yeah, well.
So I told Juwan, you guys got to be strong. You got to play super because I got to have something to talk about down there in Savannah, Georgia. You know, so I spoke with him, had a nice talk with him, had a chance to say a few words to the team and, you know, told them to stay strong together, you know, build bond together because teams are destroyed from the inside out, not from the outside in, you know, and as long as guys understand their role and pull for one another, because even though you give me a lot of accolades, I didn't pass the ball to myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't get all the rebounds. Someone had to be helping me somewhere to win three Big Ten championships in a row.
How closely do you follow the basketball team these days?
Oh, I follow.
Yeah.
Oh, I follow, yeah. I follow. I've been to a couple of Final Fours, and I think I was in the one in Atlanta.
I was there, too.
We lost to Louisville.
Yeah.
So I follow. I look at, of course, when Loyola made it. And, of course, I knew they were going to complain about losing to us. You know, that was a bad call. I mean, stop crying, man. That was years ago. We beat you, and that was it, you know. So, but I follow. I follow Big Blue, you know, in the Big Ten. And I cringe every time I see the postseason tournament because, I mean, we beat each other up during the regular season.
Yeah.
And when I played, only the conference champion went to the NCAA. It was 16 teams. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't Ralph Sampson miss one year because of that rule? Yeah. Like,
I'm not sure. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a different world, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm telling you.
So. I mean, you guys have played some incredible teams back then, too. Like the short Kentucky team and mm-hmm. UCLA.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in 64 and 65, we're at the Final Four. And mm-hmm. for me, you know, what a great experience because some people ask me, you know, did anybody ever talk to you about, you know, all of the fanfare they made over you? I said, yeah, it was kind of frightening, especially when your opponents stand along the foul line and say, yeah. Well, they show talk a lot about you. You know, are you good? You know. And I look at the guy, you know. And it's one thing to be publicized, but it's another thing to feel the bill, you know.
Yeah.
But I never thought about that. All I thought about was just playing, you know.
Right.
So, but you hear that, and it's great to hear those stories because you're not that good, you know. And they say that during the game, and you kind of just laugh and you look at them. And you want to say, I just wait and see. You don't say anything, period. You
right.
know.
But,
so what was like scouting like back in those days? Did you know ahead of time, like if you hadn't played a team before, like what their opposing small forward was going to be
they
like?
They would send Coach Jorg would go out
and
scout. Coach Scala would go out and look at the team. Now, I mean, everything, you can pick up everything off of TV.
Yeah.
Everybody's on television. You got all of the, I mean, the tremendous technology nowadays. And, I say today that players are without excuse. I mean, the facilities that they have, the nutrition. I mean, when I was coming up, you didn't lift weights. I mean, you did push-ups and, you know, isometrics. But now they're so well-educated. I saw the strength and conditioning coach down there today.
Yeah.
You know? They got the before and after picture, and so everything is so well educated now. And they sit in comfortable chairs before their locker. I was in an old hard steel bench, you know, the big old blue lockers, you know. And I look at Yost and I said, it's amazing how the times have changed. But that's to be expected, you know. But it was great. I mean, I wouldn't trade anything. If I had to do it all over again, I would just put my bid in to play 4 years instead of three.
Yeah, because you were ineligible as a freshman.
Well, you couldn't play. The rule, you couldn't play as a freshman.
Yeah.
Right, and so I couldn't start playing until 63, 64. And then I played 64, 65, 65, 66.
Yeah. Which sounds crazy.
Yeah, now you play your freshman year and that's all you get in
now
college.
It's like we have a 17-year-old from Germany and it's like that guy's got to play 30 minutes a game.
Right.
Isn't it something?
Yeah,
it's something.
Go. Yeah.
When I came in, you couldn't play as a freshman. Now you play as a freshman, and you're good enough to leave. You know, maybe some of those guys are not ready. But
I mean, that's another thing that I like about the name and image stuff is I feel like you have a number of guys apply for the NBA draft who really don't have much of a chance of being drafted. So I feel like if they were able to like cash in a little bit on their notoriety when they were in college. Like a guy like Tyler Cook at Iowa might still be at Iowa instead of in summer league and probably going to Europe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or Charles Matthews could come back this year.
Well, yeah. That's another one too.
Mm-hmm.
So
you think if they pass this law, guy might be tempted to stay?
I mean, if you're gonna go in the first round of the draft,
those
guys are gonna be gone. But we're talking about like guys who are projected in the second round or even projected not to be drafted, like I think there were more early entries in this draft than there are draft spots.
Yeah.
So that's like I would like to see those guys be able to stay in college because I just like watching good basketball players.
Yeah, I think it would be advantageous because when I played, you had, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, you had 12 rounds or 14 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have two rounds, and 12 and 14 rounds because you only had.
Right.
14, 15 teams at that time.
There were 12 rounds in the NBA draft?
I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, when I was drafted number one and Dave Bing was two, I think we had 12 rounds or 14 rounds because there's only 12, maybe 14 teams at that time. I'd have to check to be sure.
That's amazing.
But it wasn't a lot of teams.
Right.
So they had to draft. And
so what do they do with all the guys? What do you do with your 13th rounder, or 11th rounder?
You cut them.
You cut them, probably. Or, you know, if another team needed guys, you just maybe drafted a guy and held on to him and maybe traded him, you know. So it was different. And I look back over it now, you only have two rounds now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you go in the first or second round, you're pretty much assured of at least a spot on the team.
Yeah, these days. They're pretty careful about getting value out of the second round picks too.
Mm-hmm.
Any predictions for Michigan basketball this upcoming season?
You know, it's an interesting question because I said to Coach Howard I had heard prediction of fifth, and he said, "Well, Kaz, I'm not going to make any predictions, but I'm going to say this to you: we're going to work hard and give it our best shot." That's about all you can say, actually, because. You're taking inventory of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You've not seen them play under game-type situations yet.
Right.
Right.
And I would love, if I had my druthers, to just go and sit in the stands and watch them scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And I could walk away with my own prediction. you know, just watching.
Yeah.
You know, that's the fun part of having been there and played. Now, of course, some people say, well, how are you going to figure that out? Well, you can just about look at the talent you got. Now, of course, you'll know more from your preseason games.
Right. Yeah.
Of who you're going to use, maybe 1 through 8, maybe 1 through 9, based on the inventory that you took.
You know, well, typically with Michigan basketball, we don't know until after their preseason because they're
well.
They always ham it up against the
well, especially under Beilein. Those teams tended to take off midseason.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with Juwan.
Yeah, it's gonna because they'll take on his persona probably. Yeah. And I talked with him about well, I said I hope that the post people have a presence.
Right.
You know, because you need a little inside and you need a little outside. You got to have them both. You know.
I feel like there is a good chance that Juwan Howard's team is going to post up a little bit.
You think.
You think, right?
Just an inkling, and I hope so, because you need that, because you live by the jumper. You'll die by it.
Well, especially last year, teams were switching all of Michigan screens, and
yes,
they couldn't feed the post. And that was, you know, pretty detrimental in those Michigan State games.
Yeah, yeah, you got to feed the post.
Got to feed the post.
Got to feed the post. You got to post. And I didn't want to say anything, you know, but I mean, it's still a game where, you know, you have a good advantage if you got an inside presence.
Yeah.
Because it's a higher percentage shot. Get the other guy in foul trouble. Free throws help. They start double teaming, kick out. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of little intimate details that I'm hoping to see, and you know, being 6'9", 6'10", I know he realizes that you got to have an inside presence, and you can complement that with some good outside shooting because you have to have 3-point guns. You got to have some shooters.
Yeah.
But you need some post-up people. You need people that can handle the ball and push it up the floor. It'll be interesting to see what type of game he wants to play, up-tempo, or methodical, or depends on what he
goes. It's going to be a little interesting the first time Michigan fans see a turnover for the first time in 8 years.
Yeah.
What is that?
And how much is he going to value offensive rebounding, which Beilein didn't really. So and I think that you're going to see kind of a different level of athlete that makes that more of a winning bet. So, yeah. Like, you know, under Beilein, they never had teams like Kentucky where they're just all 7 feet tall and can jump out of the gym.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about what Michigan basketball was going to be like in the near future because I just knew what it would be like. And now this is going to be a really interesting set of cupcake games to open this season because it could be a lot different.
Yeah, I think we need to give him, you know, time and an opportunity to settle in. I guess the biggest challenge is going to be recruiting.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming down.
That's the name of the game. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you need some blue chippers. You gotta have
Cazzy Russell.
You know, you gotta have some go-to people. You know, and that's what I loved about being able to team with Button. Mm-hmm. You know, we were a duo, and if I came in to post up a guy, they would double team, and he would be at the foul line. He could take the big guy out with him. You need that kind of a combination. You know, you need at least a 1-2 punch or 1-2-3 if you have it. You need some outside shooting. You need to be able to run the floor because who wants to set up all the time, you know?
Right.
Get it off the board and get it up the floor and try to catch the defense napping. So, you know, we could run. We could play set offense. We could press. And it was fun because we were not predictable.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, this team, they've got defense. You know, Isaiah Livers is going to be a good D. Teske's great.
Okay.
And, you know, and
Simpson.
Simpson is going to be excellent.
You better mention Simpson or he's going to find you.
We've been doing this to him all offseason.
We were doing a thing in Chicago. We did a Q&A with Charles Matthews. And he says, it's going to be Isaiah Livers' team. And then he gave me the mic. And then 2 seconds later, he yanked it back. He's like, it's Xavier's team. It's Xavier's team. But Livers is also going to be pretty good. He realized that he was about to get a phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm saying, it's like, where's the scoring going to come from on that team? Because got those guys, none of them are really their own creators. So
That is the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess the guys that left, you had a couple of them that could get their own shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's always an advantage.
Yep.
Well, I mean, ideally, that you know, have a guy in Johns who's going to be able to.
I mean, someone will develop. I think that's pretty clear. But It's going to be a lot of pick and roll with Simpson, I think, because he's going to be the guy who is able to get in the lane and finish. Left-handed hook shot.
that's
next up.
Did you ever see a guy with a hook who was 5'11"?
I saw that a couple of times. Six. But I don't think you want to rely on that all the time. You know,
he was 60% on it last year. That's a pretty good shot.
That's an efficient shot.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
He feels he can make it. So it's going to be interesting to see what type coach decides to do. But I hope that he has an inside presence. And, of course, I hope he has some lethal shooters.
Yeah. What was your favorite shot?
Probably first my jumper, second my hook inside the lane because I could get up. And if they decided to get it, and he came too soon, I could dish.
Yeah. You had that very, flat shot. A
flat jump shot. And that was from playing in gymnasiums that had low ceilings.
Serious? Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. He's like, I'll believe anything about the 60s. You played in a submarine. That probably happened.
I know my dad's shot was super flat because yours was, right? He graduated high school in 66, he shot like that because Cassie shoots like this.
Yeah. I guess that developed because I put a lot of rotation on the ball, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get it off quick, but I guess I got a little older, I started trying to get it more at the apex, which is where you need to have it.
Yeah.
You get it at the apex, and you can decide. And the key to shooting is you take it to the top. You don't shoot it to the top. You take it to the top. So if he's too close to me and I got it up here, I can bring it back down. Mm-hmm. But if you've already committed, that's what happens. So it's a little intricate thing, you know.
What am I looking at here? Why don't you do that?
Just wanted to mention before, because you're doing a signing tonight, and wanted to make sure we tell people about that.
Yes.
That you're doing the Cassie Russell edition, the Chrysler Arena Pen.
Yes.
It's going to be available for pre-order and shipping before the holidays. Anyone want to get that for their Christmas friends?
And the signing's at 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the signing's at 7.
Is it at 6? 6 or 7?
Six.
Yeah.
It's at the
Hyatt.
The Hyatt, yep. Mm-hmm. The Hyatt place at 3223 South State.
All right, so half hour. We give you permission to miss the rest of our show. Thank you for being on, Kezzy.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It was an honor, Kezzy, and thank you
very much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break, come back, and, well, this will be a downer. We're going to talk about Rutgers.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. Let's go.
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
The University of Michigan was the place we all came together. It's where we pursued our curiosities and where we rallied around things that really mattered. The Alumni Association has now made it possible for you to reconnect with your fellow Wolverines around endless topics. Within Alumni Online Communities, it's where you can join in the discussion or start your own on any subject from your career, identity, hobbies, or interests. Go to umalumni.com/communities and keep the conversation going.
You might be investing on your own or working with another advisor, but how would you grade your results? I'm Nick Hopwood, CFP, founder and president,
Peak Wealth Management,
in Plymouth. For over 20 years, we've been working with institutional strategists, putting together low-cost portfolios which match your risk tolerance. If you have over $500,000 in your portfolio, you should consider a second opinion. You can connect with us online and schedule an appointment at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
It can be a rough ride along the information superhighway. That's why we build our e-commerce websites tough enough to handle the load. With the capacity to take hundreds of simultaneous online transactions and the stability of load-balanced co-located server architectures, a website from Human Element performs in the roughest conditions. Thousands of products? No problem. We'll throw in the tools to manage them with precision and efficiency. All with a design slick enough to make you think your girlfriend might be impressed. So load it up and hit the gas and let Human Element show you the way. Special offers available for returning lessees. Financing available with approved credit to qualified buyers. Client participation may affect savings. Optional equipment available at additional cost. See human-element.com for details.
Welcome back to MGO Radio 5.4 live from the Bow Store on Main Street. We would like to thank our presenting sponsors, which are, of course, the Bow Store. You probably figured that out. And Underground Printing. Our other sponsors are Homeshore Lending, the Residence in Ann Arbor Downtown, University of Michigan Alumni Association, Peak Wealth Management, Human Element, Michigan Law Grad, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, Fuego Bucks, Ann Arbor Elder Law, Perrin Brewing, and starting next week, The Athletic.
Yeah, they just signed today.
Congratulations, Seth.
I'm excited about that one. I love The Athletic.
Well, now we do. No, I kid. Anyone who employs Brendan Quinn is good by me.
Yeah.
And the alternative is Sports Illustrated, which is depressing.
Oh, my God. They're gone.
It's yeah.
Just like everyone I follow is like, I loved my time at Sports Illustrated. It was the greatest.
But anyway, speaking of things that are depressing, Rutgers.
Well, Chris Ash is gone. Should we like do a moment of silence for Chris Ash?
No,
like that was a great era. No,
it was. But so you know, every week we kind of take one last look back at the previous week's game and kind of talk about what we may have learned.
Right. And do we learn things from Rutgers, Ryan?
Well, I think we learned a couple of things. We reinforced the idea that Michigan's run game is going to be a bit of a slog unless the quarterback keeps the ball, as you posted.
Yeah. It was uncanny, and you mentioned that I was already kind of clipping some of those plays to, like, I was going to be more yelling at Patterson, and then you're like, oh, good, I just don't even have to have Patterson in this.
No, but it wasn't, because did not have options to keep in this game very much, if at all.
Right. I pulled some, like, shots of him, like, versus Army, when you could see the guy shuffling the same way. And first, it was interesting how they, they respect Milton as a runner, so now the running game can actually move.
Which is a little racist. Right?
Like, maybe that's why they fired Chris Ash.
He's like, he comes in and they're like, oh, this guy's a runner. I'm like, that is so stereotyped.
Yep. That's why they had to fire Chris Ash. You can't do that in the Big Ten these days.
But so just the fact that he was expendable.
Right.
To some extent and might keep the ball changed the way that Rutgers was playing defense and opened up all those Haskins runs where he gets 10 yards before anyone touches him.
Well, the other thing I found interesting that I wasn't expecting to see when I went into those plays was how well Michigan's practiced them. So they had, like, the responses, like, the little tweaks. And, like, Runyon is, like, seeing a guy slant and he's riding him all the way down.
They're prepped for the scrape exchange.
Yeah, but not just any kind of – there's multiple ways of doing it, and they're prepped for all the little ways of doing it. Michigan's been practicing that a lot.
Well
– I think.
You'd hope. Well, I mean
– I mean, just you can tell, like, what a team is, like
– what they're focused on.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think points to the fact that, Michigan is going to have their quarterback keep the ball because – In this style of offense, that's the only way you can have a good ground game. If you're Wisconsin, you don't need your quarterback to run the ball. If you're a shotgun team, it's either run your quarterback or be Mike Leach. Those are your two options.
And it's effective as everything is proven. But like, if you don't have the quarterback, you're giving back everything that we learned since 2000 when we started, you know, reading a guy and having them play with one less guy. Because otherwise, if you're running from the shotgun, your running back is starting from a stop position. He's all the way back there instead of coming downhill, and it's not nearly as effective as a running game.
So that was one thing that I think is a takeaway from the offense. The other one is like I just feel like they're trying to do too much. They're running inside zone, they're running outside zone, they're running gap schemes. And they seemed a little bit hesitant, particular Cesar Ruiz. You know, there are a lot of plays on which you're not doubling on the line of scrimmage, but you're also not really getting anyone on the second level because there's no one there for you. So
well, and good stretch zone teams are teams that can, like, but they care mostly about the first level. They make sure they get around and they seal a guy. Like, remember the Rich Rod teams would just, they wouldn't care about the linebacker sometimes because it's so important to get to that first level block correctly. And I then mean, if you get that right.
Different philosophies, and there's, like, philosophies where it's like, all right, you don't get off your block until you can smell the linebacker's breath. And that's, you know, Rich Rod's philosophy. That's a couple other school's philosophy. And then there's the approach that Michigan's taken where it's like, all right, we're going to zone, and if you have a guy in your zone, block him on the first level, and if you don't, you're going to go to the second level. And personally, I think that sets you up for a lot of difficult situations where, you know, the opposition is slanting and you haven't read it right, and because you're so focused on going to the second level, you don't really have a lot of opportunity to recover. And there was one particular stretch run that Charbonnet had got 4 yards on. And, you know, I talked about it because I was referencing, he got a terrible, Onwenu got a terrible Pro Football Focus grade this year. And not this year, in this game. You know, he was a 59 or something. And I think one of the big discrepancies between my grading and what Pro Football Focus must be doing is when there's penetration into the backfield on a zone play. The offensive lineman who's like going, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, is usually not the guy at fault.
Right, because he has somebody who slanted into the gap.
Right, and someone else left. And so he's in a really tough spot where there's a guy shaded inside of him who's slanting away from him, and he's got to block that guy. And Onwenu actually did a great job to stall this guy out, get almost all the way around him. And so that's a plus from me in my book, and it's probably a big negative for him in Pro Football Focus' book. But the reason that happened is Cesar Ruiz didn't check his.
Everyone runs somewhere zone. Yeah. Zone is like in everybody's playbook, but there's no version of zone that will happen with your center sometimes because he makes the call, and sometimes he'll say, "Look, I can reach this guy, I can get around this guy, go to the second level and go hunting," but it should not be happening to your guard. If the center's leaving a guy, and it's especially a defensive tackle, because those guys are harder to move, that's in nobody's playbook. Unless you're like purposely trying to hit the backside, in which case Onwenu should just be like letting that guy go. You shift him down, and you create a new gap.
And so this kind of seems in contrast to what was happening last year. Last year, I felt like they had a really good grasp on who should be blocking who, what their style should be, and this year it seems like they've once again piled on so much stuff without repping it consistently, and they just don't execute at the level they need to execute.
Now, it could have been this is Rutgers, and they've been trying different things.
No,
and
it's not because
I know, but up to this point,
Rutgers is slanting, and it's not like Iowa isn't going to slant their line.
No, and Iowa slants a lot, but I'm just saying Michigan could have been trying to figure out what they're good at in this game because they've been so.
I suppose.
I mean, this game had to be a come to Jesus moment. They were, you know, they get Gattis down the sideline. I think they simplified the playbook a lot, and it had to be. Let's see what we're good. We've been trying all these things. Can we run stretch? Can we run inside zone? Can we go back to our power stuff?
Like, speaking of come to Jesus, they threw some frickin' fades.
The moment,
it's like third and long on the second drive of the game, and they're just like, "Why don't we toss this up to Peoples Jones?" And I'm like, yes.
Have you ever seen 104,000 people been like, that's okay, at an
interception? No.
Like, the whole stadium was like willing them to be like, okay,
everybody
it's
on
cool.
Twitter was just like, it's fine.
It's fine. Please do that again.
It's cool.
I mean, yeah.
I don't have a problem with this.
You punt that up and like, okay, he probably should have thrown a little longer. I think he shorted
a little bit. It was an inaccurate throw, but one, historically, that's one of Patterson's best throws.
Right.
Two, it's dead simple. It's you can't screw it up. And three, look at this wide receiver core. Like,
yeah,
if you put it in the right spot, it's going to be a completion. And you, there's a pretty big right spot because Nico Collins is huge, and Black can jump out of the gym, and Peoples Jones can jump out of the gym too.
Yeah, and he almost came down with it too. He had his hands on the ball, and the cornerback just made a good play.
Well, and there's a certain level of luck in there, but those 50-50 balls don't feel like 50-50 balls, right?
Right.
They feel like 60-40 balls, 70-30 balls. And, you know, the upside of that is you get a 30 or 40-yard play instead of 10. And it's frustrating to me when it's just like...
Well, also, the next passing play in the game is like a 9-yard quick out to was it neither Nico or Black?
Oh, yeah.
On that same cornerback, because he's just been having to face this. So, like, you do that, and then all of a sudden everything opens up underneath, too.
Yeah, so it's a situation where I guess it's nice that it seems like we're right, but I kind of wish that I don't want to be like, we should be doing this, and then they do it, and then it works.
People in the comments of Fofilm this week were like, wow, I wish the coaches, or like, there's sometimes the coaches of the other team come and read this stuff and learn about Michigan, and like, no, there's no point when we should be knowing more than any coach, especially coaches involved in this game.
Right, yeah, like.
So, like.
If you don't have.
Right.
The scouting that outstrips what MGO blog does.
That is a major problem.
You're probably Chris Ash, right? Like, you've got bigger problems.
Right.
Anybody who hops on the internet to find out, like, about their Michigan week scouting, it's just like, well.
Yeah.
I hope you're an HBCU, because that's the only, like, situation where that would make any sense is if you don't have any analysts.
Well, and I posted this article on Friday morning. So if Josh Gattis is going, what do I do against Iowa on Friday morning? I'll see what Seth, who played, you know.
Another good point.
Junior varsity Another for half point. A season.
but in any case, the other things about Rutgers that we did learn are... wide receivers are pretty good. I thought Eubanks had a good game, particularly as a blocker. He had a couple of tough blocks. There was the touchdown to Turner where he's able to come from a wing tight end position and cut off a guy slanting inside of him. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that block not made.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't look like much on film, but it's good. And he had a nice catch where he was at full extension, was able to bail Patterson out a little bit. So I think he's improved a great deal, and you know, Michigan, you know, if they get McCune back, I think they're going to have a nice 1-2 punch there. On defense,
McGrone.
It's pretty much the McGrone game. And the thing that really impressed me is he has an instance of coverage on a back out of the backfield where there's no window at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you combine that with the out-of-nowhere hit on Cone against Wisconsin and the blitzing he was able to do, and that is the full Devin Bush package. Now, can he, like, do that on a down-to-down basis for two seasons? Yet to be seen.
Right.
Well, the potential is there.
And Devin Bush also, like, one of his magic qualities was that he could, like, download a play if you run it on him once. So, like, you try that thing on him again, and he'd be like, you can't screw with him that much. And McGrone is definitely still in that spot where, like, you know, you have to point at him and tell him where to go a little bit.
Well, he's had a couple of errors where it's clear that he doesn't understand what the defense is trying to do on a particular play.
Right.
Redshirt freshman, first extended playing time. That's understandable.
That's totally fine if that's happening. Yeah,
really
yeah.
expected.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. And he had a game that I think is going to warrant him at least playing and possibly starting even after Josh Ross comes back. And then on the flip side of that, Jordan Glasgow is my dude.
Yeah.
Like,
Raheem Blackshear is a tough guy to cover.
There was like this like just picture of him in the locker room.
Oh, with the animal shirt?
Wearing a shirt with a giant bear on it.
Yes.
Like, he's my dude.
Yes.
But he had a rough game. And a part of that is just the context that he was put in. He's actually been one of Michigan's hardest nose go thwack the fullback.
Yeah,
run defenders, which is strange because he's, you know, the converted safety, but
and he's still the smallest guy of all the weak side linebacker.
But he goes forward and he puts a lick on people, and that's been something he's been very good at. You know, checking Blackshear in space obviously didn't go so well. So it's possible that in certain situations you might see Ross out there because he played weak side linebacker last year. I'm not saying that we should, you know, just bench Glasgow because he had a bad game, because he's been one of Michigan's better defenders for the first three games.
Right. So, I mean, it's a bad position to have a bad game because yeah. Michigan has so many options there. But
well, and it's also just really obvious when you screw up in ways that it's just embarrassing. it's fine.
I mean, Mekhi Sargent's not going to be the same level. I just got to give Rutgers running backs, just give them credit. They are good.
Yeah.
And that was a tough matchup, which made McGrone's play all that more impressive. That did kind of want me to – I wanted to segue into something with that.
Okay.
Because there was a play that you thought that Metellus was yelling when McGrone get the when they should have called
down.
OPI.
Just slow down.
Yeah. The play where they should have called OPI one of the meshes. I saw Metellus pointing at McGrone. You thought he was pointing at Dax Hill, I think?
I didn't necessarily think he was pointing at Dax Hill, but if you look at the way that play breaks down, the thing that makes sense for it to be is a trap for mesh that Dax Hill didn't execute. So you have the slant route, which turns into a hook, right?
Right.
So it turns into a hook directly in the middle of the field. Metellus runs up on that. All right, so he's got that covered. Dax Hill is in man coverage on that same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of two things just happened. One, Josh Metellus was wrong.
Right.
Or two, Dax Hill was wrong. I know who I'm going with, the senior safety who never busts versus a guy who's a true freshman.
Right.
So my opinion of that is that Metellus is correct. Dax Hill is supposed to be in man coverage. Up to a point, and then they spring the trap, and he hops in front of the mesh route.
Right.
Which is good. Because, like, it's better for Michigan to have a plan that they screwed up for a mesh than to not have a plan for a mesh and not have screwed up.
And the fully developed version of that plan gets you, like, an interception against Ohio State, possibly.
Right. So I was actually encouraged by that. Obviously, you would like Hill to execute it, but you understand why he didn't.
Right.
And McGrone there is actually, like, just bait.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, oh, he's in man coverage. He got picked off. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think that he was fine on that play, and it was Dax that messed it up. the other guy who I thought was an important person to call out was Mike Dwumfor.
Yes.
So he got about...
Well, first 20, of all, he exists.
Yeah, 23, 24, 25 snaps. So not a ton of snaps, but he was able to get penetration on a play-long double team and stick in the backfield, which would be really nice if that had any basis in reality going forward against not Rutgers. And then he had one of his trademark, I dismiss the guard, interior rushes.
Yeah.
And instantly the defense felt more plausible against better foes when Dwumfor was in there. We got to remember he was injured almost all last year. He didn't live up to quite all the hype, but he was an excellent interior pass rusher. If we can get him back 100% and operating correctly, I feel like that will be a major boost for the defense.
So Iowa loves to beat up on your defensive tackles. So if this and in the run game specifically, they like to do a lot of things. They'll trap guys and everything like that. So if he has a good game against Iowa, then that solves a lot of the issues that I was worried about with Michigan early year and going into this year.
Solves is a little strong.
Solves.
Mitigates.
Going from, like, you saw how Jeter played, and before that they've been going with a 3-3-5.
I know.
Go from that to, like, having a plus guy who can actually get some pass rush.
Yeah, but
at defensive tackle.
You can't play two defensive tackles the whole game, right? So, like,
no, but
or if you do, it's a bad sign anyway, because they're going to get tired at the end.
Yeah.
So mitigates. We're going to go with mitigates.
Mitigates it is.
Mitigates.
That would be glorious if we could get a full good game out of him. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying.
No, but that's like one of the X factors for the season and next season too.
Right.
Right? Because you need defensive tackles. So looks like, you know, get healthy against Rutgers, hopefully turn the corner against Iowa, which we will talk about. Actually, not in our next segment.
No, next segment we're going to do Matt Demarest.
But in the near future, we will talk about Iowa after this commercial break. But not this one, the next one. Anyway, here's a commercial break.
Ideal retirement age. Are you saving and investing enough to reach your goals? Are you on track to pay off your mortgage before retirement? How much income do you really need in retirement? I'm Nick Hopwood, Certified Financial Planner, Founder and President at
Peak Wealth Management
in Plymouth. When clients walk out the door after a planning meeting, they know exactly what their needs are and where they stand relative to their goals. In my experience, most advisors don't do any planning at all. So my guess is now is the perfect time for a second opinion. And you can book your second opinion online at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages
$110,000.
It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks, and you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He okay. looked at my insurance, and he was like, yeah, your coverage sucks, and you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also, like, I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games. Well, and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually like reads MGo blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together and you will save money on your insurance and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease.
The University of Michigan was the place we all came together. It's where we pursued our curiosities and where we rallied around things that really mattered. The Alumni Association has now made it possible for you to reconnect with your fellow Wolverines around endless topics within alumni online communities. It's where you can join in the discussion or start your own on any subject from your career, identity, hobbies, or interests. Go to umalumni.com/communities and keep the conversation going.
Welcome back to MGo Radio 5.4, live from the Bow Store on Main Street. We have a slightly less illustrious guest with us. No offense.
I mean, I don't know about that.
What?
Almost as tall, though.
Yes. Pretty tall.
I'm actually, like, I feel really short when around you guys. Like, at home, like, I'm surrounded by, like, my family and my wife's family, who, like, some of them are under 5 feet. And then I
really?
Come here, and you're, like, towering over me and Demarest. Yeah, I'm just, like, a little guy around you people.
Well, you are a wee little thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so are my children. My kid's the smallest kid in school. She's a kindergartner, and she's like the smallest child in the entire school.
All right, so how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Well, I think you're not doing well, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to
the Wisconsin game. Like, I blacked that out. That's you, not...
Was that my idea or your idea?
It was.
You bought the
it was probably so it was your idea, idea. I think it's gonna. I'm gonna blame you. It was Seth's idea. I definitely didn't want to go. He talked me into it. So great job, Seth.
Seriously?
Do you want to go to Illinois this week?
Don't.
I am going to Illinois this week. It's an annually father-son trip with the boys. So we pick a different road game every year.
So you don't always go to Illinois, because that'd be weird.
No, I've been to Illinois several times because my family's from there, but this will be the first time for the boys. So we're picking off the smaller Big Ten stadiums first when they're little. Yeah. You know, they're not quite ready for some of the action that takes place in the stands and at Penn State or one of those games. So Illinois is a good, even though we're such a big rival of theirs.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest thing.
I went to Illinois once, and my God, that is the most brutalist structure on the planet. It is like walking into a stadium in North Korea.
Well, have you seen it since they put the new metal siding on it? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, they've done some interior improvements. But the outside, it's also like just
the gargoyles
in the middle.
Are smiling now.
The gargoyles, yeah, they made the gargoyles smile. No, it's in the basketball arena too. Looks like something from Mario Brothers or something, like a toad or something.
And they sold the naming rights to their basketball stadium in this kind of context where, you know, 10 years ago the distribution was $19 million and now it's 51. It's like, how can you look yourself in the mirror if you have an assembly hall, which is a cool name for, and now it's not that. And it's just like, come on.
Speaking of naming stuff, Brian, I know you're a soccer guy. A buddy of mine said I should try and buy like a fifth level jersey naming right in one of the English leagues. And and so he was looking up this team, and I think it was Stevenage. He was looking to see if I should Stevenage.
I don't know.
All I know is that it's sponsored by Burger King. And I did ask him if it was a local Burger King or if it was like Burger King, because they seem like they'd be sponsored by a local Burger King.
I actually know like all the names of those clubs because I play Football Manager, and nice. my main style is like I start at the like seventh level of the English pyramid and like win the Champions League eventually. Nice. So like I've played with Vauxhall Motors and Bishop's Stortford.
It's kind of like 2014 NCAA football, starting with Rutgers and taking them all the way.
Dagenham and Redbridge.
I did that with UMass once. That was the a rung lower than Rutgers, if there is one.
Yeah, and then I guess it just gets so boring. So my problem with the previous NCAA series is that I don't remember what it's called. There's like an All-American difficulty level, and there's a Heisman difficulty level, and one was incredibly easy, and the other one was just death in a box.
Right. Right, like people, you go online and like people tell you where to put the sliders, but there's still like never any holding. There's never any pass interference. It's just.
And there was that one year where the linebackers could just leap 12 feet in the air.
Yeah, 2005, and everything bounced off your hands.
Good old stone hands.
I think that was back when Michigan had Braylon too, or like the year they made that one. So it was like a really frustrating one. Yeah.
Yeah, so Wisconsin, the worst part, some people have heard this story already, but you know, we had a couple beers at the tailgate, met some nice Wisconsin fans who invited us over. MGO blog reader was there, Mike invited us to his tailgate, and so we ended up wandering to another one on the way into the stadium, and at that point there were no porta potties.
I see.
I'd imbibed slightly. I needed to find some place to go, and so I went up, started going in the woods, and this story doesn't go where you think it is. I didn't get arrested. There's no apparently in September and October in Wisconsin is a big season for yellow jackets, and they
gave some yellow jackets a golden shower.
I Kelly'd a bunch of yellow jackets, and I got stung probably 100 times. It still itches on my ankles. I mean, I looked down and could not see my legs. And the worst part was about 5 minutes later, when it just is agonizing pain. I'm standing there and I'm like, I think I got them all. And another one crawls out of my shoe and stings me on the leg. So it was a bad omen. The only option really for painkiller was Tito's Vodka had a tent right there, and they were giving away samples. So I went and had a couple of those, but the game did not take the pain away the way I had hoped it would.
No, but it was great because every time I was like so miserable during that game, I could like turn to like look at you and be like, well, at least Matt got stung by bees.
Yeah, it made the ride home really fun. It was a really fun ride home. We drove straight home after the game, which was great.
No, well, we hit some breweries.
We stopped at Microphone Brewing in Chicago. Yeah. That place is good. That helped.
Yeah. Oh, nothing like a very strong stout.
Do you guys want to talk about this on the air where you're...
I think we already did.
Yeah,
you already did?
You said, let's just do a... Do you want to do a gimmicky top five or something?
Well, it's too late now. It's just like the gimmicky top five tweets that are right at the top of my Twitter feed. All right, here we go. Brian's number five. No, can't do that one. That's politics. Here's Patrick Stewart, my friend and Blunt Talk co-star Wells Dolly, wrote and directed the film Good Posture. She is brilliant. out nationwide in the UK today. That was boring. All right, we can't do this.
All right, so I'll just put out an invite. I've been, so this is not an advertising thing. I've been very busy because rates are extremely low. And so I have not invited anybody to any tailgates this year. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be the only person at my tailgate tomorrow. So if anybody wants to come by and have a beer, I will be in the middle of Pioneer at the parking lot. I in the RV section right in the middle.
Do you have an identifying flag or sign?
You can still be a flag, but it's a Michigan flag, so that doesn't help. But look for the big RV permanent section towards the football field, and the bus will be right in the middle.
We need to get you like a flag with your face on it.
How about a Brian face flag? How about that?
I can make that happen.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Speaking of things at the top of my Twitter feed, that picture keeps on popping right up to the top again.
Oh, like that's a great
last couple of days.
The Sam Webb and Ira, and
that took an incredible amount of work to get those shirts all there at the same time. Especially like last week while we're doing this podcast,
you had to tell someone to like mail something.
I think there's a reason you guys are on the radio, not on TV, though. I mean, I'm going to be honest. That's not the prettiest group of men I've ever seen. Right there.
Thanks, Matt.
Someone said that Craig looked way younger than they imagined him to look, and that was
he plays tennis. He keeps in shape. You know? Yeah. He's an old codger, but, you know, I don't have anything else to say. He's just an old codger. Would you get rid of that photo?
It's a visual podcast. It's very visual.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be visual for them, not me. Come on.
So I do have my TKA Victor's Lounge patches for tomorrow that I cannot use. So that's 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. There's free beer in there. Sam and Ira do their countdown to kickoff show.
Yes, they
do. I'll put those on Twitter. So I guess if you want them, tweet at me at the MGOBus, and I'll pick somebody.
You don't have like a more official Twitter account?
I have at Matt Demarest. I don't put anything work-related on my – or business, like football-related on my personal account because, you know, the powers that be don't always like,
that.
Yeah. I've gotten some of those calls before where it's like, you're not allowed to do this. Dan Gilbert owns Michigan football.
No, he owns Michigan basketball. He took my basketball, Dad.
Well, I don't. I really wanted to see your reaction to Beeline getting hired away because we thought it was just the Alonzo Mourning gif.
Yeah,
where it's just like, at least nobody's gonna get a mortgage from that guy anymore.
I wish that was true. I wish that was true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old philanthropy in the disguised as buying all of a city underpriced and holding it ransom.
Oh, well, that's also politics, isn't it? all right. Well,
no, that's business.
That's business.
That's business. Right.
Well. Don't go to any more road games, I think.
Yeah, my record's not very good. I'm going to be honest.
But you're going to go to Illinois.
We're going to go to Illinois. And
if we lose the Illinois game, I will hold you.
The boys are 4-0. The boys are 4-0 on the road, right, Colby? 4-0.
All right.
You got to do a live Go Blue, I think. Cooper's over there in the corner. He doesn't want to be involved.
He doesn't want to be involved.
Can you yell Go Blue so they can hear you?
Go Blue!
Oh, Cooper yelled from the corner over there.
All right. You guys need to get a little bit more affect in your voice.
That was a mime. He's miming.
He's miming.
That was incredibly visual.
Very visual podcast. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, next time we're actually going to have a Game of Key Top 5 when you're on, so we're a little bit less aimless.
Yeah, that's fine. It was
fun. We just forgot about everything because Kazzy Russell was here.
Right? Well,
Kazzy Russell.
The Yellow Jacket story is a good one.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good one for other people. It wasn't that great of a story for me, but no, you guys, I'll give away those passes for the Victor's Lounge. And,
at MGOBus.
At the MGOBus.
The MGOBus.
At the MGOBus. So people can just tweet at me. I'll put them up there now. But yeah, please come by and have a beer tomorrow because otherwise I'll be at a school bus in the middle of the RV lot standing there by myself, which will not be a good look. So some of you guys who are listening right now, guys and gals, come out and have a beer.
All right. Look for the giant flag with Matt Demarest's face on it, which doesn't exist.
Go ahead. The owner of Homeshore Lending. We're a local mortgage company here to help you purchase with confidence and refinance with ease. People don't get mortgages very often, so it can be confusing. We'll break down every single line item so that it all makes sense. And at the end of the day, if we're not giving you the best deal, we'll tell you to go with the other company. We're here to offer our simple mortgage guidance.
This is Seth Fisher from MGO Blog. Over the years, we've sent dozens of readers to use Homeshore Lending, and every review that's come back has been raving. I myself used them to refinance after doing our original loan through our bank. I was amazed how much smoother the process was for our complicated loan. Brian used them. You should use them too.
Finding out whether it makes sense or not to refinance or getting pre-approved to buy a new home is easy. Head over to homesurelending.com. That's H-O-M-E-S-U-R-E lending.com/mgoblog to find out more. Or call us at 734-531-9950. That's 734-531-9950. I've got two of my favorite people here with me. Kind of an annual tradition. Cooper and Colby. Cooper, how old are you?
11.
Colby, how about you?
9.
Can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue!
NMLS number 1161358, Equal Housing Lender.
If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
So that was Jess Crew, the music.
Okay.
J. Crew, I don't know how he pronounces it. It's certainly the most 90s band I've ever
you
heard.
You
want
to ask maybe next time?
Well, I found him on Twitter today. He's a reader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe ask next time. All right.
Jess Crew.
Still MGO Radio 5.4 live from those who are on Main Street.
Yes.
This is the segment where we talk about Iowa, which can be short, but for different reasons than Rutgers can be short. Because
they're Iowa?
Because we can just say, it's Iowa.
It's Iowa.
And then describe the minute differences in this Iowa from other Iowas.
Oh, it's inside zone instead of zone stretch. It's got a fullback instead of a tight end this time.
Well, I mean, there are some interesting differences.
Yes.
From recent Iowa teams in this one. Their tight ends are not downfield threats at all. They have six catches between them. I think there is a fullback as their starter.
Yeah, they used last year's fullback as a starter, and they try to keep the other guy off the field.
So like, he's got, like, four catches for 20
yards.
Yeah,
it's Nate Weeding. He's 6'4", 250, and he's just a fullback.
A fullback who is an on-liner.
Right, he's still wearing his fullback number, too.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different, so I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of diversity in terms of targets. It's mostly going to be the outside receivers. It's going to be, they're going to use their slots a little bit. They have slots this year.
Yeah. They're freshmen, but like they actually got one that's pretty good. I think it's a redshirt freshman.
It is baffling to me that Oliver Martin cannot find time on this team.
He's fifth on the depth chart. Where was he at Michigan? Fifth on the depth chart.
That doesn't make any
sense. Behind a couple freshman slots.
That doesn't make any sense. I don't. Like.
Well, if he has some patience, then Smith and Amir Marcet will. It's Smith and Smith and Arcet are the two starters, and those guys will graduate next year. So, like, in a couple of years, those guys will clear out, and he'll get to play.
That whole scenario is completely baffling to me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't pretend to know exactly what happened.
Smith Marcet has emerged into, like, the next hyphenated, pretty good Iowa wide receiver, who's, like, not NFL good.
He's not a body like the old ones. He's more kind of like, I compare to J.U. Chesson because he's just like fast and lean and and he had a good kick returner.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing is I was like, I looked up his kick return stats, and he was fourth in the country in kick returns.
Yeah.
And the other guys all had touchdowns, and he didn't have a touchdown. So he was, like, consistently cranking out, like, medium-range returns all of last year. And I can't even imagine, like, what that would look like. Like, the...
Well, first of all, Iowa has not heard of the new rule where you can just fair catch it.
Well, why would you if you're getting 29 yards of return?
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple long ones that, like, went down at the 10-yard line, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is... He's just skinny and fast.
Yeah. So Michigan will be advised to put it in the end zone instead of doing anything cute, I think, in this game.
Right.
But the other guy is more of a burly leaper type.
Yeah, Brandon Smith. I compared him to Darbo.
Standard Marvin McNutt kind of Iowa receiver.
He's only getting 6 yards per target right now. Yeah. Just under six, so yeah.
And then the offensive line is two NFL-bound bookends and some question marks on the inside. Tristan Wirf, some mountain of a man.
He was interesting to scout because, first, like, I watched him against Rutgers last week. And, like, you know, Rutgers is Rutgers, and he's just burying those guys. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see what happens next week. And then I looked at him against ISU, and he's just burying those guys. So maybe just every defensive end that he's ever played is awful. And
I mean, he's getting talked up as a top 10 NFL draft pick.
He's that good. Yeah,
I buy it personally.
I mean, they're not sure if he's going to be a tackle or guard because he's athletic enough, but not quite long enough to be like an elite tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, I think
he's fine for college.
But I mean, he's going to be a tackle. He might be a right tackle, but it'll work out. Yeah. And then Alaric Jackson has missed most of the season. He got hurt in the opener or was it week two?
It was the opener.
So they haven't played him, but he did dress last week, and people are saying that he will come back in some capacity this week. What that means, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I ping our Iowa friends to say, like, you know, hey, what do they mean when they do that with the depth chart? And they're like, well, we don't know either, so.
I would assume that he starts. Yeah. Like, he was available last week, but there was no reason to put him out there on the field because they were playing Middle Tennessee. Like,
well, this was also the earliest he was expected to come back.
But, like, he's going to be, I mean, he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
Michigan didn't send him a letter of intent. Like, he's going to be on the field.
I was like, how far in the segment can we get without, like, yelling Tim Drevno's name, like, with, like, a con fist? Because where does this one rank? That should have been our gimmicky top five.
Oh, that's number one.
The things you're pissed at Drevno
about?
Oh, yeah,
that's absolutely number one. Because they
not Mecky Becton.
They desperately needed tackles. They had him, and then they decided to pass. Like, complete jabrones. But any case.
Yeah.
Let's move past it.
Anyway, if he's back, I don't know if he's going to be himself.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. But he's going to start, and then maybe they'll have to put him on the bench if he doesn't perform.
Yeah, and the backup is fine. So,
but like, if he is alive, he will be starting.
Yeah.
And then you've got Nate Stanley, who's this year's inexplicable first-round hyped Big Ten West quarterback, taking over for Clayton Thorson and Mitch Leidner.
He's not that inexplicable because he looks exactly like Ben Roethlisberger. He even dresses like Roethlisberger.
No, he doesn't. I mean, no. That's just Ben Roethlisberger ripped up the record books.
At Miami, Ohio. But do you remember him against Michigan? He was inaccurate.
So this is a situation where you have a guy coming off a 59% completion percentage year, you know, 7.2 yards in attempts, 10 interceptions, 26 touchdowns. And that's with two first-round tight ends on his team.
Yeah.
And you know, you watch him, and you can talk yourself into him, but
I would not want the Lions to draft him.
But his inaccuracy is constant. Like, he will turf slants way too frequently. Like every quarterback misses throws, but, like, Nate Stanley misses too many throws to be an NFL quarterback. He's a perfectly serviceable college starter.
Yeah, and you know what? He's going to make the four dead-on throws per game that are going to, like,
perk your ears up.
Yeah, and one of them's just gonna, there was, like, one incredible throw against ISU.
Sure.
But, like, the trick is don't let that one incredible throw, you know, be to Amir Smith
Marset
and, like, score a touchdown and just, like, okay, take the 30 yards and then move on, because then he's going to miss the next two and they're kicking a field goal, even if it's fourth and one.
And then, you know, their ground game is zone.
Yeah.
Zone.
But it's not outside zone as much anymore.
Well, I mean,
it's changed.
They alternate, right? So, like, you got to run both, and you play to your strengths. And when you have Tristan Wirfs at one of your tackle spots, you want to go forward.
Yeah.
And that's frequently what happens. You see the running back just be like, all right, that's the spot because someone's been battered off the line of scrimmage.
I didn't get any read at all on any of the, except for maybe the freshman they play, but any of the running backs and their vision, because their vision is run wherever, you know
Sargent was around last year, and he's a guy who is a good zone runner. He has the instinct to put his foot in the ground and hit the gap. I think he's got good vision. He's just not that much else. Like, he's not that big.
You know, if he was larger, he'd be a bigger deal, but he's like a small guy, so if a safety gets a good shot on him, then he's down.
Yeah, he's not that shifty. Like, he's got a couple moves. I'm not saying that he's Mark Wiseman, but, like, he's not Akram Wadley
either. Yeah.
Like, he's kind of the definition of just a guy as a running back, and so is their number two guy, Torin.
Yeah,
Young?
Torin Young's not really the number two. He is on the depth chart, but Ivory Kelly Martin is their third down back.
Well, he's also second in carry, so he's kind of number two.
Yeah, Ivory Kelly Martin, though, is like a very good blocker. He's the true Wilson.
All right. So. And then on defense, it's Iowa.
No, because they don't have a secondary. They don't have like crazy inexplicable, unless you want to count Michael Ejimudia.
But they're going to come out in a 4-3 even. They're going to play cover two. It's Iowa.
Yes.
Right? So
that's what they do.
And the big difference this year is they have a 5-star junior, A.J. Epinesa, who has 1 sack and 7 tackles on the year. But don't let that fool you. He is killing people. He's Brandon Graham, basically. And Michigan has a weak spot at tackle, and it's hard to see Michigan successfully blocking Epinesa one-on-one.
I think for my full film, I put together a like almost highlight reel level list of like clips.
Yeah, there
and
were
videos,
like three or four,
and not a single one of them does he get a sack.
No,
that was the point. He is affecting the game way more than any of the stats are going to show.
So yeah, in El Asico, you had one trick play touchdown.
Yeah.
You had 1 73-yard post route when one of the safeties lost his mind, and then the 33 other Brock Purdy attempts averaged 6.1 yards an attempt, even though he completed 23 of them. So like dink and dunk, dink and dunk, and dink and dunk, and that's because they just didn't want to let Epinesa get to the quarterback. Now in Michigan's position, you know, I'm going to double Epinesa.
Yeah.
I'm going to chip him with a tight end, and then I'm going to like send the tight end to the flat to keep someone honest, and then try to hit some guys downfield because, as you mentioned, their secondary is a little beat up. They don't really have the athletes, you know.
Yeah, Ejimudia is the best cornerback this year. In the past, they've had like an NFL cornerback out there.
Right. There's been Desmond King.
Right.
And who was the guy last year? I forget. But they've had this. They've had this run of having elite.
Amani Hooker, yeah.
And then there was a guy.
He was a safety, actually.
And then there was a guy the year before who was also a first-round pick.
Was he the one who got all the picks against Ohio State?
Yeah. They've had just this.
Justin Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've had just this run of elite defensive backs, too many of them out of the Detroit area, for my taste. And that doesn't really seem to be the case this year. So that opens up some options in the passing game, and then they've been banged up at safety.
Yeah.
And then, as you mentioned, they had a hybrid space player last year.
Yeah, and they got rid of it. So last year they had the guy they sent to the NFL playing hybrid space player.
Right.
And then they had Geno Stone playing strong safety. And then they had this guy, Nick Neiman, who was injured for a little bit, and that's why they started tooling around with a hybrid space player. It improved them. It fixed a lot of their issues. And then Nick Neiman came back, and they're like, oh, we got to put this guy in the field because he's Jake Ryan. But he's like, you know.
Jake Ryan.
He's Jake Ryan.
So four verts. I got four verts on this game.
You put three receivers out, and one of them's going to get the linebacker.
Yeah.
So.
And that receiver is going to be.
DPJ?
Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Yes! Or Ronnie Bell, even.
So if Michigan can keep. Michigan can keep their quarterback clean, they can throw the ball on this team, I think. The one kind of like question mark about that is. Patterson has historically been pretty bad at finding holes in zones and getting throws out quickly. So
yeah.
We've seen some examples of him doing it well, like the three or four times Michigan's run four verts this year, he does that well. He was able to like hit some guys against Rutgers with a ton of time in the pocket, and then the fades. So like, I don't want to throw a fade against Ojemudia, but the other corner is going to be 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah, and he's a freshman too.
Right, and then their safeties aren't very big either. So if you can get your slot going on a post and it's Nico Collins versus that guy, there's going to be a lot of throws there that are good throws for you. So I feel like contain Epinesa, throw downfield, that'll work pretty well. And then the run game all depends on whether they can actually incorporate the quarterback.
Yeah, and if they can, it's going to be – I think they can get like 7 yards a carry on these guys because I don't like the linebackers as much as I – and this is incredible for me to say because linebackers at Iowa have been like good or at least decent for like 20 years. And one of them, I just like – I had to like show my work because I'm like so surprised that I did not like an Iowa linebacker.
Well, so one of my concerns is that – they've already seen an arc-heavy team, and it didn't really go well against Iowa State. I mean, they didn't run very much, but they ran for probably about 100 yards on 18 carries.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of pratfalls where the quarterback just went over for no reason in there.
Because of Elasico.
Because of Elasico, yes. So what has Iowa been spending a lot of time on the past few weeks?
I'm sure they have, but also they're both their defensive ends are large guys. I mean, Epinesa is an incredible player, but he's also literally the size of an offensive tackle. And when that guy is moving towards you, it's bad. When that guy is still moving and you've moved, then his momentum is still carrying
difficult
him.
Difficult to redirect.
Right, and that's why I really like the arc read game against him, because if you get him crashing, and what they're going to do is they're going to like they're going to crash their line all the time. They love the slant.
Slant.
Yeah, and because of that, you're going to get him crashing inside sometimes just because of the play call and a linebacker trying to come around again. And
trying to butt block AJ Epinesa doesn't...
No, you're not going to butt block him. He'll run himself in. The tight end goes around him, and now the scariest guy's gone. And now you just have a linebacker outside. You can block him with a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that working. I can also see it kind of falling flat because they've been spending a lot of time on Michigan because they haven't had to spend a lot of time on the rest of their schedule.
Right. Well, their schedule is our schedule,
and then they
Miami
got,
instead of Wisconsin.
Right, and then they got a test. Actually, not that Miami.
Not that
and then they got a test run of an ARC game. It didn't go well, so now it's like, all right, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
So I kind of figure, like, I wouldn't run ARC to start. I would start off split zone, that kind of stuff, and then, like, maybe try to work it in later. And then you got to, like, pull some stuff out that you haven't shown before. And if that's power read, like if it's inverted veer stuff, like I think you gotta give it a shot. And
I mean, anything that gets one of those defensive ends moving in one direction where he can't like switch his direction, because that's gonna open up a lot of space, and the linebacker's not necessarily great at covering it.
Right, and then it's like, all right, so Patterson has this oblique issue. How healed is it? How aggravatable is it? How is the potential of getting hit with it make him make bad decisions in the run game? There's no Dylan McCaffrey, so you can't pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go with Joe Milton. I don't feel very confident with that just yet. Mm. Next year, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
This year, a little bit. So there is a version of this game where Michigan still can't put together a run game because they can't make the quarterback a viable option. And Iowa has some tools that they haven't shown yet for the arc read.
Right.
So
what do we do?
So and then well, what you do is you run right up the middle at some okay guys.
Yeah, the defensive tackles were like the off-season problem, and they've been looking pretty decent all year, but they also
who are they playing?
Yeah, I mean Iowa State is a decent team, but they haven't been developing linemen that much.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just garbage they've been playing. So, you know, you go up against Onwenu and he's shoving you off the ball, that might be a whole different story.
Right. And so that's like maybe we see some stuff like the beginning of the second half against Wisconsin where you see Michigan move the interior of the line, pick up 6 yards, and it's okay. Like that would be reasonable.
That's
and then,
what you're going to get against a cover two team anyway because the safeties are going to be back there. Everyone's looking at the run.
Sure. And then But then you're looking at putting together, you know, a 12-play drive to score. And it just doesn't make me feel fuzzy, you know?
No, I mean, this is the kind of game that Michigan could win, you know, 24, that's 24-7. Like, that would be feel comfortable at 24-7 because, like, I think sure. their offense is going to get something and that's it.
But they could also just crawl into a hole and
yeah,
die.
It could also be like a 14-7 game that we lose.
Like, if they're able to push the pocket a little bit and Epinesa's gotten to Shea Patterson's head... it doesn't feel good.
I mean, the other way this could work out is this would be a beautiful day, and Epinesa is like pushing Runyon off, and Patterson escapes, and like they're not getting a lot of pressure from the other guys. So like, if you get pressure from one guy, that boots the quarterback out of the pocket, and Shea can make things happen. There.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, generally against a zone team.
But his own team with some freshmen playing in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, I mean, like, we'll see.
You don't need a lot.
So my overall feeling is like virtually anything could happen in this game.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, I saw that coming. Like, the only thing, like, if it's just a blowout one way or the other, that would be a surprise.
Yeah.
I think it'll be tight.
It'll be slow. I think there's going to be a lot of long drives in this game.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be a... Just going to be a Big Ten game, and then Kirk Ferentz is going to go for it in his own 20.
Well, it's all right. So
that's going to make sense.
Yeah, Ferentz is going to do that against Michigan for reasons surpassing understanding. But
no, because he wants to win the game.
Well, doesn't he want to win like against Wisconsin? Like he does this bigger games than Michigan. He's done this.
So I mean, he has the same thing Lloyd Carr had. Where for most of his career, Lloyd Carr was a better bet to win a game if he entered the fourth quarter slightly behind than slightly ahead.
Right.
So he understands that sometimes you have to take risks to win games if you're in a bad situation. And then he's so loss averse.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't need to worry about it. He can just go balls to the wall against Michigan.
There's also, you know, Rhode Iowa and...
There is Rhode Iowa versus Kinnick, Iowa. Yeah,
like,
that's...
Getting Kinnick, Iowa a lot.
Yeah.
My knees actually are still hurting from that cold night in Iowa in 2016.
I don't believe you.
I swear to God, that's like when it started.
Seth, that's crazy.
I've had knee issues ever since 2016, that particular game.
Don't tell me about vaccines. I don't want to hear about your vaccine takes. But
No.
I'm pretty nervous about this game coming up, except insofar as I've already just kind of like... You know, the season's in the Viking boat.
Yeah.
Firing arrows at it. See which one catches on fire.
I mean, Iowa would do a pretty good job on this season. Because, like, you lose to Iowa, you're looking at 7-5 or 8-4.
Yep.
And, like, Michigan State's close.
Yep.
I think it could be more like... Do you remember that... What was that Iowa game? It was near the end of the season. It was, like, a beautiful day. Like, it was just a beautiful November day, and we kicked their butts, and it was like a Brady Hoke team. No one saw it coming.
It was, it was Denard's last game at Michigan Stadium.
Yes, yes.
And he put that poor safety in the burlap sack and beat him with hammers and has never stopped. And yeah, that was nice, but it's not going to happen because we're too messed up.
Yeah.
We're at a situation where this game does feel pivotal, and Joel Klatt's talking about how it's like the pivotal game, and you're like, home against Iowa is, and then you're like, oh, I think he's right because you gotta.
Well, it's the pivotal game this week, and then it's Penn State's gonna be the pivotal game. And
I mean, it is.
Michigan
right?
State's gonna be the pivotal game.
I mean, in one sense, it'll be the pivotal game, and another sense, like Jim Harbaugh is not gonna get fired.
No,
I mean,
you can't fire him.
No, and like he's had teams that are too good, but here it is. Here we go. Yeah.
who's got it better than us?